1.
Enter the asylum. For a terrifying tale of fear, lust, and insanity.
Live on a Football Friday at the Asylum Fantasy Football Show at asylumfantasyfootball.com.
Yes, drop us a line, asylumfootball@gmail.com.
Hit us up on Twitter, the slow crawling's paying off, at Asylum Football, 22 away from that elusive 1,000. Help us out if you can.
And don't forget to check us out, all you locals, on WSRU 88.1 FM, the voice of the rock.
Absolutely. That's where we can all hear. And shout out to us, anybody hearing us in Slippery Rock. Let us know how you're liking it there on WSRU. Well, Rick, here we go again. I've been whining for 2 weeks, but it keeps getting worse. Week 10 is upon us. Week 10, it's basically over. Make your 4th of July plans. The football season's officially over.
Yeah, and Week 10 has already started. One of the games is in the books.
Yeah, an awful game at that. I have on here to break it down. Maybe we'll just jump into it. We won't spend too much time on it. Andrew Luck, sort of average through the air, just a terrible game. That Jacksonville team might be the worst team I've ever seen, but Andrew Luck manages to rush for 2 touchdowns. Again, only 1 touchdown behind RG3 rushing. It's an aspect of this kid's game I didn't expect to see.
No, that's true. He's big. He's strong. He's, you know, a lot like Aaron Rodgers running when it comes to that.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But
more
I
willing
what,
to do it.
Yeah. You know, to Jacksonville's credit, you know, me and you talked about
how do you
this
give
a
them
little bit
credit?
Earlier. You know, a lot of calls did not go their way the first half. They had an interception on Luck.
Yeah.
Negated. I thought that was a pretty chintzy call,
yeah,
to be honest with
they
you.
They make that call every time, though. It's a terrible call, but they make it every time.
In my mind, Cecil Shorts had 2 feet in bounds. The third one hit out of bounds. Then he fell down, lost the ball. They said no catch.
But, again,
the second rushing touchdown, that ball looked like it was almost behind Andrew Luck. His head never even crossed the end zone. I don't know how they determined the ball did.
Well, it's
hey,
what
you
they
know,
do.
It's, you know, that a lot of bad breaks go against bad teams.
That's
I understand
true.
That. But, you know, they didn't just die. And you know, but to Baltimore. Indianapolis' credit, they really
now you're showing show your age calling the Colts Baltimore. I yeah. don't think that was a mistake. But so Andrew Luck, 227, no touchdowns, a pick. He did have a fumble loss, too. Reggie Wayne, another nice game. Kind of a jerk move, 8 for 96, so close. The only way I find that disappointing is he had about 6 for 60 of those in the first quarter, and they sort of got away from the pass game altogether. I thought Reggie Wayne was on his way to a monster game. And then the running game in Indianapolis, if you haven't heard yet, go ahead and avoid it. Now that Ballard and Brown are healthy, Ballard 12 carries for 48, Brown 14 for 42, a decent rushing day between the two of them, but I think you're seeing the dreaded RBBC now has come to Indianapolis.
Yeah, and you know, like you said, it's dreaded. That's all you can say about it. It is a fantasy player's nightmare.
Yeah, no question about it. On the other side, speaking of nightmares, Blaine Gabbert, 18 for 31, 209, re-aggravated that shoulder injury. Henny actually came in, threw a touchdown to Cecil Shorts, who, I struggle with that one. Cecil Shorts, the Susie sells seashells by the seashore.
Cecil Shorts looks very good. That,
6 for 105 and a touchdown, averaged 17 yards a catch. This guy, I don't want any part of that Jacksonville offense, Rick, but if you're in a deeper league, tell me why Cecil Shorts isn't a good number 3 fantasy receiver right now.
Oh, indeed. And like you said, you don't really want a whole lot to do with that Jacksonville offense, but going to the future, if MJD's healthy, if Gabbert can even just step up a little bit, Blackman start maturing a little bit, you know, there's going to be a little bit of playmakers there. I have my doubts about Blackman, to be honest with you. Very underwhelming all year long.
Turning into the year of the rookie with the success of Luck and RG3 and what Doug Martin's doing, a lot of rookies performing at a high level. This guy is just completely – he's a zero. To this point of the year, he managed to get in the end zone last week. But the guy's just been a zero for all the talent he came in with.
Exactly. I think there's a lot to do upstairs on that thing between his shoulders.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. And Rashard Jennings, for everybody who rushed out and used their number one waiver priority, 11 for 27. We talked about it over and over again. There's a reason he didn't even get a handful of carries when MJD's healthy, and you're seeing why right now.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And, you know, we talk about not having a featured back. I mean, Jacksonville has that, but when that featured back's out, they don't have anyone that's going to take. They don't have Ben Tate coming
in. No, Ben Tate isn't coming off that bench, unfortunately, for the Jaguars. Rashard Jennings is. So enough of that game. 2 or 3 minutes on that game was 2 or 3 minutes too many. So we'll do the usual Friday show, Rick. We'll hit up the headlines, give our starts and sits. After the headlines, before we get into that, Rick in the middle of an interesting trade scenario here I'd really like to discuss. It's a tough one. We've been talking about it, Rick. I know you've been reaching out to a lot of our buddies in the biz, as it were, on Twitter, trying to help make the decision there. We'll talk about that. And then, of course, fact or fiction, the only reason anybody listens in on Friday night.
Oh, indeed. There's no doubt about that.
So to the headlines real quick, Jamaal Charles practiced full on Friday. Looks like he'll be good to go against the Steelers, at least in terms of being there. Unfortunately, Romeo Crennel may have something to say about his actual participation.
He won't be sure why, though.
No, that's – well, that really still stuck in your craw, huh, Rick?
It'll never leave.
Sticking with that game, Rashard Mendenhall, limited practice on Friday. They haven't given him a status yet. They're expected to hold him out this game and bring him back. What I read is they were expecting to bring him back as the starter in week 11. That surprises me with Dwyer and with Redmond. I'm curious what's going to happen this week. Dwyer looks like he should be all right to go. Redmond's obviously healthy. What's that distribution going to look like? That's
fantasy owner's nightmare.
Yeah, and if you get Mendenhall back in the mix, I think you have to avoid them all. Again, with that game, Antonio Brown misses practice on Friday. No official status listed for him, but I have to think Antonio Brown's going to be out. With as poor as the Chiefs have played, Rick, if you've got some bye week issues, if you're in a deep league, do you give much credence to Emmanuel Sanders this week against a bad Chiefs team?
Well, I think Ben's certainly going to have his opportunities. You know, it depends on if Kansas City can hang around. I mean, if they put him to bed early, I don't know if they're going to be throwing a whole lot. That's the thing. It's one of those – Kansas City has this habit of being destroyed.
Yeah, but unfortunately, one thing, and it's hard to find a lot of criticism for the Mike Tomlin era here in Pittsburgh. Already has a Super Bowl, been to another – yeah, it's almost a 70% win percentage in the 65 and over percent range there. One thing I've noticed since he's been here is this team tends to play down to the level of their competition, and that's how you wind up losing to Oakland twice in the last 3 years. That's
Tennessee.
How you lose to Tennessee this year. They, if I remember right, they tried real hard to give one to the Chiefs in Arrowhead. It was last year, I believe it was.
And Buffalo.
Yeah. So they tend to let these teams hang around, and you know, you're looking at a fourth quarter drive. So more to a fantasy point, Emmanuel Sanders, he's a desperation play for me. Who do we have on bye this week? The Cardinals, the Browns, the Packers, the Redskins. So yeah, there's two teams with significant receivers out. You're probably not hit too hard. You know, if you're in a deep league and you're in a bind, I think Sanders is better than some.
Worst
you may
choices
be finding
out
on
there.
on the waiver wire. But I wouldn't rush out and spend anything major on him. Brandon Bolden, things unfortunately, still haven't cleared up much in that New England run game. But Brandon Bolden, after one nice game, suspended 4 games for the use of performance-enhancing drugs. Still, unfortunately, you got Ridley, you got Vereen, and you got Woodhead fighting for those carries. You know, Ridley keeps putting up the numbers. How much do you trust him, Rick, on any given week? I know I don't own him in any leagues, and there's some weeks I wish I did. He's putting up some numbers. But then other weeks he can just disappear.
Well, and that's the reason I don't own him, and that's the reason you don't own him. Yeah, there are weeks that you pay through the nose playing against him and you wish you had him. But then there's those weeks, 2 or 3 weeks, where he doesn't do anything. It's like, that's why I didn't get him.
Yeah, exactly. And we're getting to that time of year where Belichick really gets wild, and I think you see Woodhead having a bigger piece of that offense. But Brandon Bolden won't be a concern anyhow. One of the big disappointments this year, your boy DeMarco Murray already ruled out again for this week, so he misses another game. Avoid Felix Jones. I don't care if Murray's out. I'm done with Felix Jones.
Yeah.
And terrible news for Minnesota, Percy Harpin doubtful, so it looks like he's not going to play. A team where their quarterback hasn't thrown for over 100 yards the last 2 weeks, now you take Percy Harvin out. What's that look like for Minnesota?
Minnesota, we mentioned on, not specifically Minnesota, but on Tuesday's show, you know, I brought up some of these teams that are starting to reveal themselves as paper tigers. I think Minnesota is not as beastly as what people were starting to think they were when they were roaring ahead there. But,
oh, I see what you did there. Paper Tigers roaring ahead.
There you
that
go.
Was clever.
Huh?
You are a radio professional, my friend. I like that.
Hey, you ready for a good question?
Well, you sure it's a good question?
We got one in the chat.
Oh,
right
as
here.
Long as it's not coming from you, it's probably good.
No,
go ahead.
It is. Okay, you know. I'm just going to read it to you. Vic is killing me.
Yeah.
There you go.
Vic tends to do that to people.
14-team league.
I left out the obvious dog joke there.
Yeah.
You're proud of me.
Nothing on the wire.
Okay, nothing.
Well, yeah.
14-team league, you said.
Yeah.
I need to listen more.
Exactly. Nothing on the wire. Because this is not me talking. This is actually a real question.
This is probably a decent human being, unlike yourself.
Exactly. P.A. Jet fan.
Oh, my buddy P.A. Jet
you
fan.
Go.
All right, now I'll listen.
Okay,
you got my attention.
I did pick up Tannehill.
Okay.
Okay, part A. Would you start him over Vic?
Well, Rick, I hate to read ahead, but I'm going to do this for our friend P.A. Jets fan who's been here every week. I appreciate the listen. Ryan Tannehill, in fact, Mr. Briggs and Mr. Jet fan, is my start of the week this week, going up against a Tennessee team that's given up 273 yards a game and 20 touchdowns. Tannehill looking good. I would unquestionably start Ryan Tannehill over Mike Vick this week.
Okay.
So me and PA Jet fan are on the same wavelength. My start, they're picking him up. We're on the. Why are you looking at me like that? You seem disgusted by this choice.
You'll be sorry.
Really? Really?
I think so. Against Dallas.
Yeah.
I like it's a division game. I like Mike. Look, Dallas can't really stop anybody either.
But Dallas can turn you over, and we all know Mike Vick's favorite thing to do in the world. Absolute. Favorite thing on this planet is to turn the ball over, and that's one thing. Dallas will get pressure on you. They're decent in the secondary and will turn you over. I think Mike Vick could be a disaster in this game.
There's no doubt he could, but Mr. Tannehill could too. I'm writing down here Vick/Tannehill.
All right.
And we're going to revisit this Tuesday.
Absolutely. And I hope PA Jet fan does the savvy thing and follows one Mr. Fleeger and not the aforementioned senile Rick Briggs.
Also, I was offered Eli.
Oh, okay.
For either, this is the part I don't like,
okay,
McCoy or Nelson. What do you think?
Mm.
McCoy definitely out.
No, not giving up McCoy
but
for
Nelson's
Eli.
A different story.
Depending what your receiver situation is, considering your quarterback situation, I'd consider it. You know, Nelson been banged up. I'm not even sure. We didn't have it in the headlines what his status is for this week. You know, he's got ankles. He's got a hamstring. He's been suffering. I'm more talking myself into it. We're getting to that time when Eli starts to take over. The team's lost a couple games in a row here. They're down. This is about the time he goes nuts. I'll tell you what, Eli Ford for who? My mind just went blank. For Jordy, I'd make that deal. I'd do that right now, considering your quarterback situation.
I think I would, too.
As long as you have another reasonable NFL starting receiver out there that you have playing behind Jordy, that you don't short yourself so badly there.
Yeah, don't be sitting there with the Cleveland tandem. Okay, here we go. I have Marshall and Wayne.
In a 14-team league, Nelson, bring in Eli.
With Martin, McCoy, and McGahee as my running
back.
Oh,
I remember this team.
Yeah.
This is the most absurd. Yeah, Eli and enjoy the championship.
Yeah.
Send us photos of you with the trophy because it's going to happen.
Yeah, do not get rid of McCoy because you're paying way too much for Eli. But, yeah, you get rid of Nelson and pick up Eli, I think you'll be just fine.
No question about it. With that team, that's a solid team. We've talked about this team before, and I'm jealous. I got 12-team leagues that don't look that good.
All right, well, let's get on with the headlines.
All right, well, that's it for the headlines. So, Rick, let's
done with the headlines.
Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely. I'll tell you what, before there's 600 other people probable, as they all are this time of year, and everybody in New England is questionable, but we all know they're going to play, so we won't waste a lot of time there. So, Rick, before we get into our starts and sits, I gave a quick preview there to our friend PA Jets fan, but let's talk about the interesting trade scenario you're being faced with. And this one's tough. I like this. Anybody in the chat room, definitely feel free to weigh in because we're struggling here.
Okay. Yeah, I was sitting here, of course. We answer a lot of questions. You know, we get a lot of emails. We answer them, Twitter, this, that, and the other. We're used to that. But all of a sudden, I'm sitting there with our main league that I'm the commissioner of. I'm sitting there, and I see trade, you know, one in parentheses. So I'm okay. Somebody accepted a trade, yeah. So I pull it up. But somebody offered me a trade, so I pull it up. And they want to give me Chris Johnson
for
Jamal Charles.
Yeah. Wow.
And I'm sitting there, this is very interesting.
Yeah, that's
so I start digging. I'll just give you a little bit of what I found.
All right.
Chris Johnson has moved up to 7th in the NFL in rushing.
As bad as he started, that tells you the role
he's
on.
As bad as he started. True, he has a game in hand on a couple of these, on some of these guys, because he still had, and that's one of the disadvantages, he still has a bye week to go where Charles had his.
Okay, so you're giving up a game. That's an interesting way of looking at it. I wouldn't have thought to look that at that.
They're about 102 yards apart, so given a 100-yard game, they're pretty even.
Yeah, okay.
Now, here's the interesting thing here, because I was looking up Charles' stats. Charles is, and I don't have the exact percentage, but it's roughly 80% of his fantasy points were got in three games.
Yeah, weeks 2, 3, and 4, if I remember correctly.
And C.J. has gone, I think, 100 yards, 4 out of the last 5 games.
And the fifth game was that Steeler game where he ran for 97, I believe.
So, I just thought it would be interesting to, present this to you. I've done it to some of the people on Twitter that we talked to, you know, name a couple of Fantasy Greek, Ali Fontana, okay? And I'll tell you what they think.
Do you have a consensus among most of them?
Yes, I do.
So it's not as split as we are. Well, here's the thing, and I'm going to base this on your team. Your team right now, Rick, I've watched it. You're sitting at, 4-5, if I'm not mistaken? Is that where you're at?
Right
you
now.
And I both in this
yep.
league, sitting at 4-5 with what I still contend are good teams, both of us. I'd guarantee
a quick rundown. I got Drew Brees, Jamal Charles, Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, Sean Green, Andre Brown, running backs. Brandon Marshall, Vincent Jackson, Denarius Moore, and a couple other ones escape me.
There's
some
matter.
Other receivers. And I got Jason Witten in my tight end.
Yeah, so a solid team. And what's happening is, and it happens to a lot of people, and I don't like to admit it, especially in terms of speaking of you, but it does happen, and it's happening to you, where you are pretty commonly the second or the fourth highest scorer week after week, and you just get hit by that one team. What you're lacking on that team, Rick, I have noticed, is any type of consistency, and Jamal Charles is a big part of that. He's on a yo-yo. Like you said, he had those three big weeks, and then he's disappeared. You know, the last few games he has, you know, less than 12 carries 3 times. You know, Romeo Crennel doesn't know why he's doing it. I tell you, if you were sitting at 6-3 or 7-2, I'd tell you not to make this deal because of the upside of Jamal Charles heading into the playoffs. If you were managing to win games with him doing what he's doing to you, unfortunately, you need to find some consistency, which it sounds weird to say after the way his season started, but Chris Johnson is by far the more consistent option, and I think that's what you need. You consistently need 12 to 18 more points every week to put you over the top. But like I'm going to caveat that, if you were sitting 7-2, I'd tell you no way, because this guy could catch another heater come playoff time and no one would be able to touch it. You can't afford that right now. So I'm going to tell you to go ahead and pull the trigger and make that deal.
Okay. And we apologize to the chat room. Apparently our audio is very choppy and they're trying to...
The audio is choppy.
Yeah, they're trying to refresh and it didn't seem to be working apparently. So... I do not know what the problem is. Everything seems to be okay on our board and everything.
Well, I'll tell you what I'll do, Rick. I'll go ahead, and if nobody out there minds, I'm going to hang up with Blog Talk. We got the recording, so you can go back and hear all this. It's recording here, and it's going fine. I'm going to hang up with Blog Talk and call them back, Rick, and you go ahead and talk about your trade while I do that.
Okay. Well, we did that. So the consensus coming in is actually just what you said. Not in all those words, but the consensus is, Chris Johnson. And it just so happened I pulled the trigger on that deal because he was getting a little antsy, and I thought it was a good move. So basically, everybody I answered to or asked answered back, go ahead and grab Chris Johnson.
Yeah.
So I think it was a good move. I mean, barring any injuries, I think Tennessee's a better team. And even with Jake Locker coming back.
Calling back into a live show. There's Gertrude reconnecting us.
Sorry to everyone at SRU's got to listen to Gertrude there. All right, hopefully that helps everybody out. The quality's a little. We've had trouble with this the last few weeks. We ain't had any trouble since we started. The last few weeks
we struggled. Yeah, we seem to think ever since the hurricane we thought it was.
Yeah,
well,
I blamed it
related,
on that the week of that, and then it just has continued. So I don't know what's going on.
Anyway, getting back, I think Tennessee's a better team. The one thing that does concern me is Jake Locker's coming back. And the three games Jake Locker played, Chris Johnson had a total of 45 yards.
Yeah, yeah. You do have to factor that in, no doubt about it. But we talked about that before the show. Locker, I think we all agree, is the better quarterback on that team. Why CJ would struggle, I don't know what it is. It is a legitimate concern. He's expected to come back this week against Miami. Miami, a good rush defense. You may have to eat one here in week one, but I just think he's shown to be, and it sounds strange, he's shown to be more consistent right now.
Yeah, and I'm hoping that they don't go back to what they did the first two or three games that he was in there.
Yeah.
Because they weren't even in the games as far as that goes.
No, and he's getting 23 yards on 10, 12, 14 carries, something like that.
Well, apparently there must be something wrong with Blog Talk because it didn't seem to help.
It didn't help us at all. All right. Well, we'll
apologize for that. Hopefully you'll listen to the archive.
Yeah, we'll definitely do that, and I'll repost the archive on Blog Talk for everybody who prefers to listen to it there. I can get it put up for tomorrow, so we'll definitely do that. And I have been replaying the Friday show every Saturday. Or every Sunday, I'm sorry, at noon,
right.
So you can check it out there as well. So let's move on, Rick, to our starts and sits. I'll let this ride a little bit, and then I'll make another call if it doesn't get any better. Let's go ahead, Rick. I'll let you. I already gave my quarterback start, so you go ahead and give us your quarterback start for this week.
Okay. I kind of looking at the schedule, and I was – of course, there's always the obvious starts, and we're just not going to go Peyton Manning and all these guys. So – I mean, if you're one of these guys that has Aaron Rodgers sitting down or RG3 or something, I dare say that this guy tends to get into a shootout with Tom Brady. I like Ryan Fitzpatrick against New England this week.
Does it seem, and maybe the numbers wouldn't back us up, but does it not seem to you that every single Bills-Patriots game starts with the Bills going up about 21-0, and then the Patriots roaring back and beating them 54-21? So as long as those 21 are coming from Ryan Patrick, you're right, he could have himself a really nice game.
Yeah, and you go to that AFC East, and you could talk Jets all you want. But the last few years, some of these Buffalo-New England games have been really nasty. High-scoring games, and, Buffalo's beaten them a couple times.
Yeah.
So.
And if Buffalo wins, they're going to win about 38-35. It ain't going to be one of those. Like, if you look at it, we're talking about the Steelers should blow out Kansas City. If Kansas City wins or keeps it close, it's going to be 9-6 or something like that.
Yeah.
If the Bills beat the Patriots, it's going to be 38-35, something wacky with 17 points scored in the last 2 minutes of the fourth quarter, the way those games always go.
That's right. So, well, give it a shot. I like Ryan Fitzpatrick against them, so I guess we'll go to a running back start. Why don't you start off?
No. You yell at me for this all the time. We have to sit our quarterbacks. And I expect an apology for 2 weeks of butt chewings I took from you, and now you did the same darn thing.
All right.
Proud of yourself.
I am proud of myself. I wish I had the sound effect board. I'll tell you what.
We probably ought to get that
ready. Fired up here.
Factor Fiction's coming
soon. That's right. Okay, I do not like this start at all. And quite frankly, you're probably not starting him. However, with the buys, you might have him stashed on your bench. And going against San Francisco, I want no part of Sam Bradford.
No. And, yeah, I don't think you're playing him. I think you may have drafted him as a number two, thinking he was a solid number two. But, yeah, you just don't want to mess with that 49ers defense whatsoever, especially with a terrible defense or offense, I'm sorry, like the St. Louis Rams. Me, Rick, this is a guy been serviceable. We've talked about it. This is a guy I struggled with. I was playing the platoon with Andrew Luck. My mind just went blank again. We got to stop doing this on Friday nights. Quit doing it with Andrew Luck. But Matt Schaub this week going up with a Bears team. While, you know, the ranked total yards closer to the bottom than the top, which surprised me. To this point in the season, the Bears have 17 interceptions and an opposing quarterback rating of 63. It could go along with 25 sacks. This Bears defense is better than those Bear defenses from a few years ago that got them to the Super Bowl. And Matt Schaub, not a big fantasy producer as it is against this defense, I could see him throwing for under 200 yards easily.
This Bear defense, fantasy-wise, is outscoring some of the quarterbacks in the league.
It's obscene what these guys are. Yeah, they were, what, sixth or seventh overall last week, I think, in total fantasy points.
Insane.
Somewhere after Doug Martin and Adrian Peterson and ahead of a lot of other guys.
And there is a chance that I believe Tillman may not be playing because his wife is about to go into labor.
Yeah,
so.
And a lot of debate on that of whether
that could
he
hurt
should.
A little bit.
A little bit, and it makes a big difference when Tillman's on the field. He's obviously the playmaker in that defense. However, you know, again, it's still a good defense matchup. Not a huge fantasy performer, and I just can't recommend starting him whatsoever.
I agree. Okay, now you can start
a running back under the Rick Briggs rule. This guy, you know, I gave him a stinky sock 2 weeks ago. I gave him a game ball. It's sort of a schizophrenic running back situation here for one Michael Turner this week. However, Michael Turner, in the last 2 weeks, 44 carries, 160 yards. What I find good, why I like this, is the 44 carries in 2 weeks. The 160 yards, most of those came last week. But seeing the ball a lot more, going against the Saints team that's 32nd against the run, averaging, just listen to this, average yards per game the Saints are giving up rushing, 176 yards, 9 rushing touchdowns. And to contrast that, Houston hasn't given up one yet. And so New Orleans giving up 9 is pretty significant. It's 176 yards a game. I can see, you know, in order to slow down Drew Brees, I think the Falcons are going to want to slow things down a little bit. I could see Turner getting 20 carries and could have himself a really big week this week.
Yeah, and that's the running back I had start of the week, but I was kind of prepared for that because we seem to take the ones that go against New Orleans.
Yeah, that's always a pretty easy. Maybe we ought to make a rule. Anybody, you know, assume you're starting the guy who's playing New Orleans and we'll give you somebody else.
Anyway, to counteract that one, maybe to, you know, counter the shootout that we were talking about earlier, your Buffalo Bills could be getting a heavy dose of Stephen Ridley this week.
Yeah.
And I think that they can gain significant yardage against that Buffalo defense.
Yeah, I don't disagree, you know. In any given week, he can go off 142 touchdowns. He could just as easily get zero, but I think this would be the kind of game where he could put up significant numbers.
That's for sure. And I see that you're trying to connect.
Yeah, I made another call
here
into Blog Talk. I don't know, that maybe everybody left at this point. Sorry about that bad audio. We hate to have that happen. But I put it back up. If that didn't work, like I said, listen to the archives at asylumfantasyfootball.com. If you're local, listen to 88.1 FM WSRU, the voice of the rock. And I will also get this reposted on Blog Talk Sunday at noon.
Yes, indeed. Okay, now let's go to a running back sit, and that is one thing that you just don't like to do is to sit a running back that you drafted, you know, maybe in rounds 1 through 5, and generally your starting lineup, but we're going to try to pinpoint maybe one you should go a different direction in.
Yeah, no doubt about it. This one, here's a guy you probably drafted early in the third round. I saw him going late in the second round. probably, if you're a savvy fantasy player, this isn't news to you, and you've been benching him the last couple weeks, but all the factors going up against the 49ers this week, averaging only 3.7 yards per carry, averaging only 13 attempts a game over the last few weeks. Steven Jackson is persona non grata. This isn't one of those where we call them sit-ems when it's just temper your expectations because you're not going to have anybody better to play. You can find somebody better than Steven Jackson this week, and I do mean legitimately sit him.
Yeah, I can't say that I disagree with that. I mean, I would be tempted to go Felix Jones over Steven Jackson.
Not even a question.
You know what I mean?
Not even a question. A good Philadelphia run defense or at times. Felix Jones, unfortunately for him, is Felix Jones, which works against him in a lot of cases. But
right.
No question would I play him over Steven Jackson. You're going to have a hard time finding a guy I wouldn't play over Steven Jackson.
Yeah, that San Francisco defense is just not good. So I could almost come up with a fact or fiction with you, but I'm just going to give you a choice. I mean, because there's two very similar ones. Look, Steven Jackson against San Francisco, or your hate monger, Sean Green against Seattle.
Oh, that's tough. Seattle's so good. That game is in Seattle, I believe. I'll tell you what, I don't believe this. I'm going to take Sean Green. Sean Green probably better in open space in terms of screen passes, and Sean Green has a better chance of finding the end zone. Steven Jackson not getting those goal line touches, so I'm going to take Sean Green, and that hurts me because I'm not a fan of one Mr. Green.
Well, okay. I'm shocked that you said that anyway, but, you know, I'm glad you did because, you know, I think Sean Green is a better start. So I'm going to sit. Now, this is one guy. I personally draft them second round.
Okay.
Going up against that Steeler defense.
Yeah.
Kansas City is hideous. Now, this is not a sit. This is a real temper expectations. If you got somebody, you know, I don't know. I mean, maybe you do sit this guy.
You might.
The way Romeo's been using them, it's a crime. Yeah, arguably one of the best running backs, not arguably, he is one of the best running backs in the league, and the way he's getting used is sinful.
Yeah, I agree with that.
100%. Jamal Charles, man.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I don't know who else you could have behind him as your number three running back, but there are some guys I would consider for all of a sudden, we talked about it Tuesday, that Steelers defense has come back to life. And the big thing is opportunities. The carries the last three games for Jamal Charles, a guy who can go off at any time, 90 yards, anytime he gets the ball in space. Every time he touches it, he's got a chance to go to the house. The genius Romeo Crennel, last three games, here Jamal Charles carries 12, 5, and 12. Just no excuse for
it. No, none had ever.
Very
12,
few targets.
5 and 12. That is 29 carries.
Yeah.
That is one game.
Not throwing.
It should be one game.
Exactly. When you got a guy like him, they're not targeting him out of the backfield at all. They're throwing the ball to, now my mind just went blank, that other little scat back they have.
Dexter McCluster.
I kept wanting to say Moeyaki. I don't know why I got
And I'm senile.
Well, you're senile. I'm just dumb. There's a big difference. And everybody out there knows I'm dumb. You have to hide your senility. But all that stuff is going all that stuff is going to McCluster. It's not going to Charles. Why you don't just 25, 30, 35 times a game find a way to get the ball to Jamal Charles in space, knowing at some point he's going to bust one off. They won't do it. There's probably guys, it's going to be tough because there's not a lot of guys on the wire. There's going to be some guys you could name that I would start over Jamal Charles this week.
Yeah, it's crazy. I just, like you said,
I'm choking to death over here.
With the quarterback situation, you could run Jamal Charles 20 times. You could run Peyton Hillis 15 times. Dexter McCluster another 10.
Yeah. 3 yards in a cloud of dust.
Yeah.
Probably twice. If you did it that many times, if you gave Jamal Charles turn around and handed it to him 25 times, what I don't know is if he could handle that workload, but he can handle more than 12. But if you give it to him 25 times, at least once, probably second, he's going to bust one off. That's
yep.
who Jamal Charles is. And Romeo Crennel, for whatever reason, and not even he knows, as you so aptly point out anytime you can, Romeo Crennel will not do it. So it's hard to argue. It sounds stupid, but I'd think about sitting him.
Exactly. So let's start a wide receiver.
All right, this is always tough, man, starting a wide receiver. It's hard to sit down any wide receiver. Quit playing with things, Rick. You always break it. But I'm going to go back to what we talked about is the shootout in that Bills versus Patriots game. And I'm going to go with Gronkowski's too obvious, Welker's too obvious. Brandon Lloyd, I think, could come back, have another nice week this week. It could be Welker, it could be Gronkowski, it could be Hernandez. It'll probably be all of them. And I think Brandon Lloyd manages, you know, two or three carries, could bust one deep. You can see Welker getting too much attention, Lloyd going over the top. I think Brandon Lloyd could have a nice week this week.
Okay. I'm one of these guys. I'm just not a Brandon Lloyd believer.
Neither am I.
And however, he's got the talent, and there certainly has the quarterback. Whether or not they choose to try to go deep on him, he's just very inconsistent, which is why I do not like him. But
and that's the risk you take with him. But if he gets deep, all it takes is one 60-yard touchdown pass, and I was right.
Exactly. And for deeper leagues here, I think a good wide receiver start, you know, especially, you know, depends on who you have in your team with Green Bay and so forth off. I like Baltimore going up against Oakland, and Anquan Boldin especially in PPR. I could see him getting 8 catches easily.
Yeah.
And, you know, against that Oakland defense, opening up a lot of room for Torrey Smith and, of course, Ray Rice if they start going
through him. Give him the ball more than 15 times as well. You know, and this is a week when you're talking wide receivers. Larry Fitzgerald's on bye. If you're playing Roberts, you know, hopefully you're not messing with that Browns mess. You got the Packers with Jordy Nelson. You drafted Jennings, Jones, Cobb. These guys all putting up numbers. You may be in a situation, and I don't disagree with that, Rick, could set up for a nice week. So let's jump in, Rick. Who are you going to sit this week at wide receiver?
Okay, I am going with this guy's got the talent. But I don't like going up against Miami, and their quarterback situation's iffy. You know, Kenny Britt.
Yeah, it hasn't panned out.
Inconsistent, very underwhelming. I don't know what his problem is. It could be just team-wise quarterback issues. I don't know. However, Hasselbeck, you know, can throw. He's had yardage with him. I don't know what it is with Brady. He just doesn't seem to be very sharp this year
at all. And he's a big disappointment. This is a guy, at least in two leagues I know I have. I don't know if you did, Rick, or if any of the leagues we did together. A guy I've grabbed in that 9th, 10th, 11th round that I thought, this is a guy that's going to put me over the top. I stole him. He's going to be in jail the first few weeks, and he's going to be banged up. But come playoff time, he's going to get it rolling, and just hasn't happened. I've started him once or twice here and there in desperation, bye week injury type of deals. Just hasn't come around. Nate Washington's really, really filled in admirably. Been decent, been a number 3 fantasy receiver, you know, pretty consistently. Put up some number 2 numbers. Kenny Britt just can't seem to get it going.
No, that's why I sit him.
Absolutely. And my sit this week is going to be this guy's roller coaster ride as it is. I'm to the point where I'm not starting him every week anymore. I'm playing the matchups, and this week's matchup against the Steelers, who have somehow, after all our kvetching about how awful this defense was the first part of the year, has managed to be number 1 against the pass at 174 yards a game. And the quarterback situation in flux there in Kansas City, the whole team a disaster. I'm sitting Dwayne Bowe this week against the Steelers.
Really?
I am. I'll actually be starting Steve Johnson over him in one league. Now, there's another league I don't have a better option behind him that I will be starting him in. But as bad as Johnson's been in that Patriots shootout that we keep talking about, I'll be starting Steve Johnson over Dwayne Bowe.
Okay, you just keep going. I'm going to tell you what I'm
going
to answer a question.
All
here.
Right, let's answer it.
Okay, they're not going to trade Eli.
Can they hear us?
Yeah, apparently they can hear
good,
us now.
Good, good.
Apparently, PA Jet fan, they're not going to trade Eli. Now, I hope they're not listening on the sly and trying to get the inside scoop on PA Jet fan.
Maybe,
however,
some malfeasance.
She's been offered Stafford.
Okay.
For either McGahee, McCoy, or Nelson, and I would take Nelson in a heartbeat for Stafford.
Yes, bring Stafford in. Go ahead, let Nelson go. I love McGahee. Again, you're not giving up McCoy. McGahee, I really like McGahee, and I think he's just going to keep getting better as the year goes on. But Nelson, again, I haven't been sold on him all year. He's only had a couple of games. Stafford, Eli, pretty even. Stafford, even when he's awful, he's throwing for 350 yards because that's just what he does. I'd do that. Stafford for Jordy, I'd make that deal as well. If you're playing Vic every week, you need a quarterback.
Exactly, and he's a lot safer play than Mike Vick, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
If you can get, yeah, if you can dump Nelson for Stafford, man, do it now.
Absolutely, no question about it. So, Rick, I don't know where we're at here, but...
Well, I believe we're on Fact or Fiction time.
Is it getting about time for Fact or Fiction?
We're looking for Vanna White's music here.
I don't know what you're talking about. So, ladies and gentlemen, what you've all been waiting for... It's Fact or Fiction.
Fabulous surprises. And here's your host, Bigger or Brave.
You have a good announcer voice. I like it. What do you think if I just left that on underneath us the whole time?
Turn that on.
Oh, come on. You never let me have any fun, you old goat.
You just have
goat.
Fun. Never. We are Flager and Briggs, and we are the Asylum Fantasy
Football
Show. And we
aren't having any fun, thanks to this old goat.
Oh, yeah, Flager is pouting. Yes, I am Pat Sajak, and he tries to be Vanna White, so. Anyway.
Could be worse.
Okay, let's get on with Fact or Fiction. I am going to give you the very first one here.
All right.
Fact or Fiction. And some of these, they're playing each other, so this is why I put these together. Matt Ryan has more fantasy points than Drew Brees.
Oh, Matt Ryan has more. I'm just that wasn't very loud, was it? That was. That's more like it. I'm never going to say anybody at any point is going to have more points than Drew Brees. Could it happen? Yeah, but you're not going to make a lot of money betting on somebody beating Drew Brees at anything involving throwing a football. So I'm going to go fiction with that one.
I don't think I could sit it any better.
Yeah, well, of course you couldn't because I'm significantly smarter than you. So, Rick, we'll stick with this. I think I know the answer. Obviously,
then don't ask.
Well, but I'm going to do it anyhow. Jamal Charles gets 15 touches this week against the Steelers. Oh, you think Grinnell's hearing the cries?
No, but since I traded him, he'll probably have 30 carries and 180 yards.
Folks, we warned you. This ends up being all about us in the end, and that was your brilliant football analysis right there. Rick Briggs just traded him away while we were on the air after we decided to do this. And so you're probably right. Charles is going to touch the ball 32 times, and he's going to go off.
Well, just hang on 1 second here.
All right.
PA Jet fan has just won the championship. Apparently, the trade for Matt Stafford and Jordy Nelson is done.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you what, there's an interesting question. I like the sound effects you gave, PA Jet fan. Let's talk now that we're in working those two deals. I'm leaning towards the Stafford side. If they had told you just on a pickup or just in general, in a fact or fiction, rest of the year, Matt Stafford or Eli Manning, I might have leaned towards Stafford anyhow. You might have got the better end of that deal.
Yeah, it's very possible. The thing is, Eli's one of these guys that, you know, December's 400 yards a week.
Yeah, could
usually.
Be. Could
but,
be.
You know, I don't – they're right on the same plane. I think it's very – they're much better than Vic.
Yeah. Either way, you came out way ahead, no doubt about it. So – back to the game, Rick. I believe you are firing at me.
Okay. This isn't even a fact or fiction.
No, well, this is a good time to do that then.
Houston or Chicago?
Houston or Chicago. For what?
Who's going to win the game? That's a good question.
They are playing this week, aren't they?
Yeah, no, who do you like better? Come on.
I love the look of exasperation on you. That is tough. Houston or Chicago? Where's that game at? Do you know?
It is
real
Chicago.
Quick. At Chicago. You know what? I'm going to go with the Bears. I don't think Houston, with the struggles of Andre Johnson, with that Bears defense, the Bears just not getting any respect playing at home. I think the Bears managed to win that game this week. Houston going on the road. I could see them getting beat up pretty – I don't want to say pretty bad. I think Foster's going to have a hard time running the ball, and that's 80% of their offense. I think the Bears handle the Texans fairly easily.
I think it's going to be a close game. I think it's going to be very close, but I do like Chicago. I'll go with you there.
All right. So I'll get back to the actual game, Rick. Fact or fiction, Doug Martin has 150 total yards this week against the Chargers.
Okay, say that again.
Do I have to?
Yeah, I was reading it. We have another question in the chat room that we have to get to.
Well, why don't we answer that so that I can have your undivided attention.
And this is by...
This is why you don't give 80-year-olds new technology. He's looking at that screen. His tongue's hanging out of the side of his mouth. He's so mesmerized. He can't understand how these questions are coming in. He can't see you, and he can't hear you. There's no telephone, yet you're asking him questions. They just pop up on the Magic Idiot box, and he doesn't understand it.
Well, you
and he can't
understand.
Pay attention to the show.
See, you try to put that spin on it, but it's just that these people are so much more important than you.
Well, they're definitely.
I just tune you out.
All right, that's fair enough.
Okay, this is from PPS. Who would you rather have the rest of this year? Andre Johnson, Percy Harvin, or Randall Cobb? Pick two of the three in a non-PPR league.
Non-PPR. So, Percy Harvin, not knowing his status, if he can get back in the next couple of weeks, he's an obvious one. So it becomes Andre Johnson, Randall Cobb.
With the condition of Jennings, I like Cobb, to be honest with you.
Yeah, you're probably right, but in what scenario... I guess if you're just looking at this person sort of sounds like me where I like to know who my starters are and not be playing matchups. I got to tell you, I think I'm going to agree with you, Rick, until and unless Greg Jennings comes back, which I don't think he's going to. The one thing Cobb's doing that Andre Johnson hasn't done this year and hasn't done over the last few years, even in his better years, is finding the end zone. So Cobb can have less grabs. He can bust one deep every now and again, which Johnson isn't doing. Sounds weird to me to say, but I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to go with Harvin and Cobb.
Yeah, it's a tough choice, no doubt about that. Andre Johnson could bust loose.
But he really hasn't.
No, he hasn't. You're exactly right. And it doesn't get any easier with Chicago this week. That's
no,
sure.
And we keep talking about it. I don't even know how much of it is his fault. He actually seems to be healthy this year, which has always been the knock on him. This team isn't predicated on throwing the ball, and this team doesn't need to throw the ball, and it's naturally going to hold down Andre Johnson's numbers. There's not another wide receiver in now on that team, and so he's going to see the best coverage and the double coverage.
Every time.
Cobb can come out of that slot and make some things happen. More exciting, especially in a non-PPR. You're looking for touchdowns, and I think Cobb has a better shot at it week in and week out.
I agree. And, again, we apologize for the audio. Apparently,
it's going out again.
But
stupid blog talk.
Yeah, I don't know what to do. But let's... we've got a few more minutes here. We'll get as many fact or fictions as we can in. Don't forget, we are Fleeger and Briggs, the Asylum Fantasy Football Show. And
you never answered mine when the
Magic Idiot Box
stole your attention away from me. So I'll say it again. Doug Martin this week, Rick, has 150 total yards versus the Chargers. We're not going to agree. We're going to agree on this one, too. I thought I was breaking ground here.
Well... he certainly has, 150 total yards certainly isn't out of, okay. I've conceded, 150 total yards, yes, he will. San Diego's pretty good defense.
Yeah.
But he is just so much part of that offense. I think he's going to have 100 yards rushing. And he can get Wait.
There it is.
Yeah. I've just seen it.
Okay, there's the gong. Now everybody pay attention.
105 yards rushing, 38 yards receiving, and a touchdown.
All right. You know what ticks me off, Rick? I wish I could curse. Yeah, WSRU, you're preventing me from cursing. I wish I could, but Rick, your stats are right on. That's what's going to happen. What I was surprised by, Rick, and I didn't realize this, the Chargers this year only allow fourth in the league, only allowing 84 rush yards a game. However, I think Doug Martin is turning to the point of being one of those guys like an Adrian Peterson that you're not sitting him against anyone, and a bad game's going to be 80-some-odd yards. You know, you get lucky if he gets 100, but 150, he doesn't seem to be as involved in the pass game as I thought he'd be. I think your stat line was perfect.
All right.
Well,
I can't believe that.
Before we go on, Rick, we have a call.
Okay.
Area code 609. You are on the Asylum. How's it going tonight?
Area code 609. Go ahead. Nope. Well, apparently not only the audio is bad, the connection on the phone is bad.
Yeah, apparently Blog Talk is just having all kinds of problems. So area code 609, if you want to try and call in again, that Skype now tells me their call has dropped. Thanks for that little nugget. I don't know, who should I be mad at, Skype or Blog Talk or a little bit of both?
Everybody.
I'm mad at everybody. So, Rick, we'll keep the fact or fiction going
on. That might be a good rant for Tuesday.
Hold on. He's trying again here. Let's see if we can pick it up this time. We'll hit the button. Area code 609. Are you there?
Breaking up. Can I was going, I was trying to listen. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you a little bit. How's it going tonight?
Okay. So real good. Hey, what I got a question on, in my standard league, my two quarterbacks have been Alex Smith and Romo. And the problem, and my running backs have been like Trent Richardson and McFadden. But McFadden's hurt. I picked up Andre Brown. I picked up Alani Jones, and I have Darryl Richardson. A trade has been proposed to me. Somebody wants to give me Freeman, Joaquin Rogers, or Sean Green, along with Kenny Britt, or Alex Smith, Dez Bryant, and Darryl Richardson. What's your feeling on that?
Okay, so we're talking Freeman, and then it's Jaquiz Rogers or Sean Green, right?
Right. The running back could either be Sean Green or Jaquan Rogers, whichever one I want, along with Rivers and Britt, because my receivers are A.J. Green and Reggie Wayne, so I'm not really going to ever probably play Dez Bryant anymore. I do have Amendola as a backup, and I only play two receivers, so my running backs have been kind of banged up and beat, and I've been getting hurt by my quarterback play of either Romo or Al Smith.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, Rick, and I'll let you chime in too, but as I look at this, I'm thinking Freeman is a big upgrade over Alex Smith, what you're giving up there. I take Sean Green over Jaquiz Rogers, who's obviously a big upgrade over Richardson. And really, to me, Bryant's had his moments, but he's banged up. We talked about it Tuesday, the guy can't play hurt. You may be giving up a little bit there, but it's almost an even deal. I think if you can get Green as part of that deal, I don't know what you think, Rick, I'd make that deal in a heartbeat.
I agree 100%. I mean, your standard league, Green seems to be able to find the end zone. And I know the Jets aren't a real prolific offense, but, he's been finding the end zone. And I agree with Rick. I mean, Dez Bryant, you're going to lose a little bit there on some flashy gains, but the drops will kill you and he'll drive you nuts. And plus, you got receivers that you're not going to bench in any circumstances. So I think that's a big upgrade. I would grab that in a heartbeat.
She said instead of Jaquiz Rogers, grab Sean Green instead.
I would.
You know,
yeah, I'll tell you what.
And now, if I do that, that means I'd have Sean Green as a running back eligibility this week. I'd have Tywan Jones, and I would have Andre Brown. Out of those three, who would you start in the standard league? Because I have Trent Richardson on a bye, and like I said, McFadden's hurt. So who would you start out of those three? Which two?
I would certainly make sure that you're monitoring Bradshaw, because I know he has been limited in practice with that foot. He'll probably play, but I got a feeling Andre Brown's going to see some carries.
Yeah, it's hard to do.
Brown's been scoring touchdowns the last couple games, last three or four weeks. He's gotten at least a touchdown and maybe 20 yards. So he's giving you 8 points. You see, the guy I'm going with has Tannehill because he has Rodgers on a bye. He's got Foster. He's got Peterson. So his running backs could give him 100 and a touchdown. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no question about it. So, and I think that's what you're going to be looking for. I mean, Tywan Jones, Marcel Reese, between them only have two carries this year. We don't know what that distribution is going to look like in Oakland. You know, this is one we could all be wrong on, but I agree with you. You know Brown's going to get some goal line looks. He's going to get some carries. Bradshaw seems to always be a game-time decision, but when the cards are on the table, he'll end up playing. But I think Brown will play a big role in that game. And like you said, like you pointed out, he's been getting the goal line looks, so probably the safest play there. So go ahead, play Sean Green, play Andre Brown, and hope your receivers can outplay your opponent's running backs.
My opponent there. Well, do you think Sean Green against Seattle, although I know Sean Green's no. I had him last year in my PPR league, and he killed me. The one time I didn't play him, he went off.
Yeah, he'll do that.
McCoy. But against a tough Seattle defense, although Peterson, I mean, Green's no Peterson, Peterson did torch him for 2 touchdowns and 140-some yards. So you think going forward, I mean, Green's been doing maybe 80 yards, averaging maybe 70 yards, but I don't think he's had any touchdowns since that big game against Indianapolis or whatever it was. With the Jaquizz Rodgers going against New Orleans this week, do you think he'll put much up? And Jaquan's been maybe a 7 to 8 point thing, too. As where Green gets all the carries, you don't know if Turner's going to get all the carries, and then Rodgers not much, or who knows, you know.
Yeah, the problem you have with Rodgers, you said this is a non-PPR, right, a standard league?
Right, non-PPR, standard league, yes, sir, standard league.
At this point in his career, and I think as Turner going into next year, and I thought it would be this year, but Turner, we talked about earlier, seen 44 carries over the last two games. In a PPR, Rodgers' value is better. In a standard league, he just doesn't get enough carries, I don't think, to justify it. I agree Green's going to struggle against Seattle, but he's just going to have more opportunity. He's going to touch the ball a lot more than Rodgers will, especially when you're not getting PPR.
And to further that point, you know, you're going to have this guy the rest of the year, too. He's not playing Seattle every week, and you got to look. He's going to be getting the bulk of it. I think they're playing Buffalo again. And so forth. He's going to be playing some weaker defenses as well.
Okay. So it's going to be like, that's what I was thinking. I mean, even though I'd like to beat the guy I'm playing this week, I don't know if I relatively can because of what he has. But the bottom line is going forward, at least I'll be ready for the playoffs. Because I'm 5-4. I'm in first. The guy behind me is 5-4. And a lot of 4 and 5 guys. It's just, like I said, McFadden and Romo have killed me this year during the year. And I've lost a lot of games by, like, 2 points.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
I mean, I could have easily beat 7-2.
Yeah, and I think this parade.
And do you think going forward, starting Freeman is a better start this week than Romo against Philly?
I think so. I think almost week to week. Romo has just been a huge disappointment. Even when he goes off, he also throws 4 interceptions. He has a 400-yard game, but he throws 4 interceptions. Right. I think Freeman has just been the picture of consistency. And like I said, I think this trade overall, when you're talking – you're a matter of 2 points, 5 points, 10 points week after week. I think you're picking that up every week with this trade.
Okay. All right, because that's what I'll do, because I was holding until I talked to you guys, because like I said, he says, Alan, I could use either one. I can go either Rodgers or there. And like I said, I think Rodgers could have a nice week this week, but you never know against New Orleans. But the bottom line is, you know what's called might get 15 to 20 touches. Green, at least he's the primary back getting touches, and you hope you may get something. You know, I mean, kind of like Trent Richardson, because I have Trent Richardson, and like I said, I'm going to give up Darryl Richardson. He really isn't doing anything because he's my least back. I figure I'll give him up along with Dez Bryant and Alex Jones to make this deal. You know what I mean? I think it's kind of a no brainer, but I want to see what you guys thought. You know what I mean?
Yep, sounds great. So hey, we sure
thanks,
appreciate
guys.
You calling in and listening in, and
appreciate the help.
Hope to hear from you again
thank you,
soon.
Guys. Appreciate it. Take care.
Thanks. You too.
Thanks.
All right, Rick. Well, nice to have a question there. I think, but no doubt, that trade makes that team better, a guy who's on the cusp of the playoffs, and those are the kind of moves you're trying to make.
Yeah,
so, Rick,
you got to make a move to try to make that, you know, final run to the playoffs.
Speaking of making decision and quick moves, Rick, we only got 2 minutes left. What do you say we run over 5 or 10 minutes? I hope the folks at WSRU don't mind. We'll run over a couple minutes. Just get in one or two more fact or fictions, and we'll get out of here just a little bit late tonight.
Yeah,
I don't know what your curfew is. Are you allowed to do that?
That sounds good. Let's just get rolling and enough with the shenanigans here.
Shenanigans. All right, I don't remember what order we're in, Rick, but I want to ask this one. I just think it's interesting. I hope our boy Jason Consoli, Jay Smooth's listening. Fact or fiction, Rick, Mark Sanchez finishes this week's game as the starter against the Seattle Seahawks. Think this is the week, huh?
I think he may die before he gets to the end of the game.
If that comes true, Rick, we're going to be famous. We'll be on that four-letter network on Monday morning if that happens.
Okay, let's face it. They are, what, 3-5?
It's over.
3-5. 4-5, they have an outside shot. But I'll tell you what, if things are going bad, say in the third quarter, they're down 21-3 or something like that, Ryan's got nothing to lose but his job, so you might as well throw him in there.
And that's what he's been saying. He's saying they're going to turn it around, and if Sanchez isn't doing it, and if that game, if there's a way, if there's some spark that could win it for him, you're in a tough place. I agree. I think this is the week. We've been waiting for it all year. I agree with you. I think this is the week it happens.
Okay. Denarius Moore has more fantasy points this week than Torrey Smith.
Ooh, Denarius Moore this week. I got to look at my.
Well, they're playing
schedule.
Each other.
Oh, they're playing
I told
each
you,
other.
That's the theme that my
oh,
little
you
factor fiction.
That just means you're lazy. You looked at each game and asked a question out of it. But Denarius Moore.
At least you didn't. You know, you had to look at the schedule.
No,
I knew.
I you know what? I'm gonna go factor. I like what Moore's been doing. Put up some nice weeks in a row here. Smith's really up and down. It depends on what kind of game this becomes. If it becomes a shootout. You know, I liked your pick of Anquan Boldin earlier. You brought that up. He's getting more involved in the offense. Harbaugh came out this week and, you know, said Jones, and I'm blanking on the name of the other guy. He wants to get them more looks to keep, quote, Torrey Smith rested for the rest of the year, which I didn't understand.
And Boldin, yeah, I saw that.
Yeah,
ridiculous.
I don't understand what he's getting at with that. It's not like these guys are running backs getting 30 carries a game. You know, Smith only catches 5-6 balls a week.
Yeah, it's like his 37-year-old Jake Reed out there.
That's what I don't understand, and I think Moore's on the upside of the season, and Smith might be heading down a little bit, so I'm going to go fact with that.
Okay, your turn.
All right, I'm up here. We'll keep them right in order. Hey, we'll skip that one. That one's boring. We'll ask this one, Rick. This one's another one near and dear to your heart this week. CJ2K has 100 total yards this week against the Dolphins. Now is that
you
true or you're hoping?
I'm hoping.
I'll tell you what, I'm done betting against him. We talked about it on Tuesday after what he did last week when he was our both sit without a doubt. We didn't even come up with a backup. This guy's finding a way to do it. You know, right now the Dolphins third in the league against the run, 83.9 yards a game. I could see right around 100, it may be 97. So I think if he can get that 80, we're about where he should be. You get a catch or two. I think he'll be right around 100. I wouldn't expect a huge week. But I think at this point to say it'd be fiction, he's just making fools of us every week if we try to do that.
Yeah, and I'm going to go fact. So, fact or fiction. Here's one. Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, breaks 100 yards versus the Giants.
I'm going to go no. Unfortunately, Rick, you know, we were so high on them, both of us, going into the year. I'm coming off the Ben Jarvis Green Ellis bandwagon here. It's just not happening. He doesn't seem to be getting enough carries. When he does do it, he's a 3 yards in a cloud of dust. He just no big gains. And really, the only fantasy value he has is you better hope he's getting in the end zone or Ben Jarvis Green Ellis is finding his way to most of my benches.
Okay, let's go.
All right, let's keep it moving. This one, no fantasy relevance because I don't think you're playing him anyhow. Just a fun question, I think. Christian Ponder, fact or fiction, Christian Ponder throws for over 100 yards this week against the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, I think he does. 100 yards is nothing. I mean,
it's just the last 2 weeks he hasn't reached 100, which I find disturbing. But
and I'll tell you what,
this kid at the beginning of the year, I was starting to fall in love with this kid, and boy, is he slammed back to earth.
Yeah, and the way if Harvin's not playing, maybe not.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's the other factor. No Percy Harvin. It does make me nervous. You know, could be good news for Rudolph, who sort of cooled off at the tight end position. You got Harvin out of it, Peterson going a little bit, the team struggling. You might have to play small ball a little bit here. Might be a nice week for Kyle Rudolph.
Yeah, you never know about that. Okay, fact or fiction. We got a couple more minutes here. New England is held under 38 points by Buffalo.
No chance. If you'd have said, I'd have had to think about it if you'd have said in the first half. You know, I could see this is how it's going to go. Every time, Buffalo's going to go up 14, 17, 21 to nothing, and then New England's going to come roaring back because they're mad because you picked on them in the first quarter. He's going to put up 56 on you. That's a little high. I'm going to say 44 points this week for the New England Patriots. Write that down.
Okay, I'll write it right by my Vic and Tannehill.
Lots of stupid predictions this week.
Okay.
Fact or fiction, we just talked about him a little bit earlier in the show. Eli Manning performs as a number one fantasy quarterback. Nope. You're done with Eli.
No, I tell you what, I just, no. Cincinnati, I think he will.
You got to pick one.
Oh, I just
saw it. You can't just hit the gong and it erase everything stupid you did before.
No, I got the vision. I saw the vision. He will explode this week for 323 yards.
Okay. You're seeing it.
Yeah.
You should see it, the pained look on his face. Something's going on. He's either having a vision or gas, one or the other.
Okay, and two touchdowns.
And two touchdowns. Okay.
Okay.
So how about you give me one more, I'll give you one more, and we'll get out of here.
All right. Fact or fiction? Philip Rivers outscores Josh Freeman.
I don't care what the question it is in terms of Philip Rivers. I am just done. That's my brilliant fantasy statistical analysis. Whatever your expectations of Philip Rivers are, he's going to do 25% worse than what they are. Freeman, like we talked about with our caller there, this guy's becoming the picture of consistency. He's just getting it done. Philip Rivers, you just never know what you're going to get. So that almost becomes a question, who do you like, Rivers or Freeman? Give me Freeman in that scenario.
Okay.
And I'll give you last one here, Rick. Marcel Reese this week is a legitimate flex option against the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, I think so. You got Goodson out, and, of course, D-Max out. And Baltimore gives up a ton of yards, and Marcel Reese is about the only guy there. I don't trust Tywan Jones or Tywan. I'm not sure how you say his first name. Don't trust him at all.
Yeah,
and Marcel Reese is a real safety valve.
Tell you, Rick, I'm going to disagree with you. And here's why. Stay off the gong, will you? Could be. Could it happen? Certainly. Here's the thing. I don't know who's going to get the bulk of the carries, number one. Number two, Reese is a fullback. They're talking about him getting all these halfback carries. He's listed as a fullback. Do you know what his rushing stat line is this week or this year, Rick? Take a guess.
Oh, it's horrible.
It's one carry for 0 yards.
Yeah.
That carry came in week one. He hasn't carried the ball since then. He's had a couple nice weeks catching. I mean, to this point, he's got 26 grabs for 272 yards. If you're in a PPR and if that continues, I guess he has some value. I think you've got to have a better option. You're going to have to be pretty desperate to play him this week. Like the caller, I think, was talking about playing Tywan Jones. You know, these guys, you don't know who's going to get the carries. Look, Darren McFadden, who still, in my estimation, is one of the best running backs in the National Football League, hasn't been able to have any success running in that offense. I can't imagine either one of these donkeys comes in and has any success whatsoever. So if you're real desperate in a PPR, maybe you take a chance on Reese coming off that 8-catch week last week. But I'm going to say, if at all possible, avoid these guys.
Oh, I would say certainly avoid them. You said, will he be a legitimate flex? I think he will. In this game, number one, Baltimore gives up a lot of yards. You say he hasn't had a carry since that one carry for no yards. However, D-Mac and Goodson, neither one have both been hurt at the same time since then. Number two, he catches a lot of balls. In a PPR league, he catches five carries and gets half the carries and, you know, maybe gets 40, 50 yards. I think that's a reasonable flex position.
It could be. I just don't see it happening. I can see why you would do it, no doubt about it. Well, Rick, we have gone into overtime, bonus time, all the...
Short all of extravaganza.
Absolutely. Just short of extravaganza. We don't want to get crazy. We'll save that for playoff time when we're really feeling it. So,
playoffs?
You're out of control tonight. Jeez, oh, man. So that's it for tonight. Hit us up on Twitter at Asylum Football. Email asylumfootball@gmail.com. Any questions you have, we'll answer them right up till kickoff. We apologize to everybody on Blog Talk for the issues. Go to asylumfantasyfootball.com. We will have this show not broken up and sounding good posted here within an hour or two. I'll replay the good copy here Sunday. I keep screwing that up. Sunday at noon on Blog Talk radio feed. And if you're local, check it out tomorrow before, I can't remember who they're playing, before WSRU plays, I believe their final regular season game or coming up on it, 88.1 FM, WSRU, the voice of the Rock.
Yes, indeed. And we thank everybody in the chat room. We thank the callers, and we thank each and every one of you for sending our numbers soaring.
Absolutely. So we'll be back Tuesday for the Blitz. Until then, we'll see you.
Take care. I'm
ACDC, Hank Skinner, George Strait. Where's the girls? About to call them up. A little thug and draw some hay trouble. What's up? It's going down tonight. And now they're pulling up. They got them jacked up trucks.